There's an interesting comment that we find in the Rishonim having to do with Parshas Vayechi. And when it says that Yaakov Avinu told his sons to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, and his sons went and they buried him in Eretz Yisrael, so we find the line in the Rishonim that from here there's a makor to the idea that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. And this is interesting. First, let me explain what I mean, first of all, that it's a line in Rishonim, and what I mean mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. Where is this line? Where do you find this? It's in a sefer called Drashos Rabbi Yeshua Ibn Shu'ib. Not one of the household names from the Rishonim. Rabbi Shua ibn Shu'ib was a Talmud of the Rashba, I think, or maybe it's Midrashi Shal HaRashba. And his Sefer is a little bit unique, not mamish unique, but unusual for the Sfarim from the times of the Rishonim, because these were drushas that were set on the parasha. It wasn't a pure Shem Chumash, it wasn't a Sefer Halacha. It was a Shabbos drusha that incorporated some Pirushim on the Pesukim, some Halachais, Jews. You know, an interesting tapestry on the parasha, like we think of, I think, as being of a more modern type of a rabbinic duty. You didn't see it so much in the Rishonim, but there's a sefer drushas and Rishu ibn Shu'ib.
Drushas Aran.
Drushas Aran, right?
Right. There's drushas Aran, which the pashas were not that.
It's a drusha.
Right. No. Drushas Aran really are like our essays that he wrote on topics, but these were drushas in the way that we think of the word drushas. I think they were, you know, delivered in front of an audience. Now he writes that what's particularly interesting here is that he writes this b'shem HaRamban. He writes b'shem the Ramban that you learn from this parasha, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis. And we don't have this in the Ramban. We have a Ramban on Parashas Vayechi. The Ramban doesn't say anything about this. As far as I know, it doesn't say it elsewhere in the writings of the Ramban either. But it's not really Akasha. This Rabbi Shua ibn Shu'ib, like I said, he was maybe based Midrash Shal HaRashba, who was himself a Talmud of the Ramban. He may have heard this Balpeh. This may have been something that was said over in the Beis Medrash. B'shem the Ramban. The Ramban made this comment. We don't have any primary sources in the Ramban's writing for this comment. But in the Drashos of Rabbi Shua ibn Shu'ib, it says that the Ramban said that we learn from this parasha Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis. Now, what does that mean, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis? So there's the basic case of the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Gittin, where it says that if somebody said Tnuman L'Plaini, he tells a shliach, go bring these 100 zuz to Pliny. So ordinarily we would say that, you know, if he gave it already, so then the person was kainit. It can't be chayzer anymore. If he didn't give it yet, so then it might depend on halachas of shlichus and zechiah. But and the Gemara discusses all those considerations. But the Gemara says, but if he dies, then that's it, game's over. Then you have to give it no matter what. Because if he said, give this money to Pliny, and then he died, there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. Now, from the Gemara doesn't say a shenemar, the minalon, or anything that indicates that it's any kind of a din d'oraisa. The Pasha says that it's a din d'rabbanan, but the Ramban is quoted here as saying that halacha is learned from this parsha. Av dafka, that he means learned to the extent that it becomes a d'oraisa, but there's at least a remez and a smachta or an example of that concept over here in this week's parasha. Now, okay, so there's an interesting tshuva.
When you say mitzvah, like it's a mitzvah like one of the 613 mitzvahs?
No,
it means like it's
not.
A commandment.
It's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, but it means that it's an obligation. So I would say bapashas is an obligation with drabbanon, to go to drabbanon. But over here you see it at least as a value.
Are you talking about when the mace leaves at Sabah?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
This could be a verbal command also. Now there's an interesting tshuva on this that discusses Mr. L'Kayim Divrei Ameis, but really also gets even more involved in some other inyanim. I'm gonna spend some time with a very interesting tshuva, and the Shalat tshuva is known to be Yehuda. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. There were a pair of brothers, Shimon and Levi. I don't know why he calls them Shimon and Levi. Usually all the brothers are always Reuben and Shimon. Over here, they decided to get creative. There's a pair of brothers. Huh?
You know, there's trouble.
It's a pair of brothers, Shimon and Levi. I guess Reuben died already because they were learning Yavamah. So Reuben died. Now there's Shimon and Levi. And Levi is the older brother, and he has a daughter who's coming of age. And Shimon is a younger brother, and he'd be interested in a shidduch, and it was thought of that Shimon should marry this daughter of Levi, which there's nothing wrong with, even though nowadays it seems a little bit foreign to us, it is not one of the arayas. Right, to marry an aunt is an iser of arayas. But to marry a niece is perfectly fine. Not only is it perfectly fine, the Gemara even seems to indicate that it's a very nice thing. What?
Abraham married his niece.
Right, Abraham married his niece, although I wouldn't bring arayas from there, because Amram married his aunt, and that is an erva. But you're right, Avram, what Avram did was nothing wrong. You're allowed to marry a niece. Nowadays, why is it that when one way it's allowed, one way it's not? That's a good question. I don't know. Nowadays, maybe, you know, genetically, it's not considered so advisable. But it was a perfectly normal kind of a shidduch. And a lot of people thought it was a good idea. And Shimon and Levi actually had a meeting about it. And in the meeting, Shimon came in and said, okay, how much do I get for it? I want to know what the nadin is. And Levi was rather put off by that, you know, well, maybe first we should talk about what a wonderful girl she is. He didn't like that Shimon was so interested in the nadin. And then when he told him how much it was, and Shimon wasn't so impressed, so Levi ended up throwing him out and saying, forget it, you know, I'm not interested in having you come and insult me and my family like that. I don't want the shidduch anymore. But it wasn't a complete breakage between the brothers. They were shutfim in business. They went on. They didn't talk about the shidduch anymore. Then Levi got sick, and he was dying. And he called in his wife, and he said, I know that after I die, everyone's going to be telling you that it's a good shidduch. We should marry off our daughter to my brother Shimon. I'm telling you, I don't want the shidduch over my, over my dead body. Even though I'm going to die, I don't want this shidduch. He insulted us. I don't want to give my daughter over to Shimon. And then he died. Lemaisa, Shimon was a fine guy. He just had a bad day. That day that they were talking about the Nadunya, he had a bad day, but he was a fine guy. Lemaisa, he was willing to marry her, even though it was a pretty small nadin, because he liked the family and he liked the girl. He was willing to do it. And everybody was pointing out to this mother that you know, here you're an almana, your daughter's a yesema, you're not a wealthy family, you don't have so many prospects. Shimon's a good guy, he wants to marry her. You really should do this shidduch. And she agreed, she would have loved to do the shidduch. But she had a problem, that her husband's dying command was, don't allow this shidduch. So she was concerned whether she's forbidden because of this halacha, mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Remember, she learned one somewhere, mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis, maybe she learned in Parshas Vayechi. And so she went with the shayla to her local rav, whether she is forbidden from pursuing this shidduch because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Her local rav was Rav Shmuel Mannheimer. He was, this is, again, we're reading this in the Tshuvas Noyed Yehuda. The Nedvi Huda got the Shaila from this Reb Shmuel, who he says was a Dayan in Mannheim. So we'll call him Reb Shmuel Mannheimer. She went to Reb Shmuel Mannheimer. Excuse me. And she said, you know, are we allowed to do the Shidduch, or do we have to not do it because of my husband's command? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. And Reb Shmuel said to them, very good. Reb Shmuel said, why are you coming to me to ask a Shaila about an obscure halacha at the end of the first parak of Gittin, that is probably only midrabanan and most people never even heard of, called mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis? What about the mitzvah d'oraisa that's in the Aseret HaDibros of kibud av v'eim? This girl's father said that she shall not marry Shimon, so she shouldn't be allowed to marry Shimon.
And, we don't say that.
Very good, very good. We're coming to that.
Even while he's alive, they can go against the father.
Excellent, excellent point.
So
right.
It should be a koshkein when he's dead.
True, right. I'm going to speak out what Robert said and what Yitzchak said. We'll come to that shortly. So, but Reb Shmuel writes that way. His first reaction was
the name of the mother. Mother's alive, and she says she wants to.
Okay, well, all that's going to come into the following discussion.
The only one that
so he said his first thought was, why don't you say that they should be forbidden because of kibud av? Now, so Yanti, you say, well, but there's also a kibud aim over here, and the mother's saying, do the shidduch. But, so he says, so there's a Gemara, the sugya about kibud av v'eim is in Kedushin, Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, and one of the most important Gemaras over there is where it says that there was a ben almana achas that came in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he asked him a shayla, Abba oimer ashkeni mayim, v'imma oimer ashkeni mayim, mahu. What do you do if you're getting conflicting demands from your father and your mother? They both ask you for water, and let's say there's only one cup of water, or it's a question of who to serve first. So what do? Your father is demanding, your mother is demanding, who comes first? And Rabbi Elazar told him that Hanach kvayt imcha v'kayim kvayt avicha, sha'ata v'imcha chayav v'machvayt avicha. That the father has priority because the mother, the wife, is chayav in the honor of her husband, more than the husband is chayav in the honor of his wife. And therefore, for the child, the parent, the father is the parent with the greater mitzvah's kibud, because atav imcha chayav mechvayt avicha. And so you have to listen to the father over the mother.
It's for sure the mother, not
the father. What do you mean the father? Oh, right. That, right. But after PK, man, we go after right for that.
What's the bar of the covenant of a husband. Why is that a bar Yerushalmi?
He was saying that one never really knows who his father is. But we follow Rives, and we do consider ourselves to know. That's not really relevant consideration here. So now the Gemara, that Brisa continues. The Brisa is telling a story that this Ben Alman Achaz came in front of Rabbi Eliezer and he asked him this Shaila, and he got this psak, this very important halacha, that Kvayt Avicha comes before Kvayt Imecha. Then it says that this same guy who, remember, was introduced as a ben almana achas, meaning this is someone whose father died, he was living with a mother who was a widow. A certain ben almana.
Oh, one.
Yeah. Okay. And then he came to Rabbi Yeshua. He first says this child to Rabbi Eliezer, and then he came to Rabbi Yeshua. And he told Rabbi Yeshua, I learned from our Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, that in a conflict between the father and the mother, the father comes first. Nisgar shumahu. What about if they got divorced? Then what's the halacha? And then the Brisa turns very funny. It says that Rabbi Yeshua said, I could see right through you. I could tell, you're playing games with me. You're making believe, you have a father, you have a mother, but looking at your face, I could see from all the tears that you've cried that you lost your father a long time ago. You only have a mother. So this whole shalva is not negated to you. So if they're both asking you for water after they got divorced, pour the water into a trough and cluck to them like chickens. That's what he told them. Pour the water into a trough and cluck to them like chickens, which Rashi says to me he was being sarcastic and sort of making fun of him. But what's the answer to the shayla? He was being sarcastic and making fun of him, but he was saying something. So Rabbeinu Yerucham says that what it meant very specifically was that you can't give it to either one. That he was actually paskening that you have to recuse yourself. If there's a conflict between a father and a mother, so ordinarily, under ordinary circumstances, with an intact family, the father comes first. But once they're divorced, and now there's no longer an atav imcha chayav mechvayt avicha, so then you can't prioritize either one over the other, and therefore you have to recuse yourself. So you put the water down in the middle. He said it in a funny way, pour it into a trough and cluck to them like chickens. But what he meant was put the water down in the middle and say, okay, the water's there, and may the best man win. You're not allowed to give it to either one.
Thank you, but my mom.
So that's Rabbi Yerucham's pshat, but the Beis Yosef says that he doesn't think that that's the standard pshat in the Rishonim, even though it's hard to find an explicit disagreement. But he says the mashmos of Rashi and the stimus of Rabbi Yerucham is that they understood the Gemara more simply. That the Gemara simply means it's your choice. And the whole thing about pouring the water into the jar, that was all a joke. Because Rabbi Yeshua was annoyed with this guy for coming with this shaila and making believe that it was negeya when it really wasn't negeya. And so he was brushing him off. But the real answer is you can do whichever one you want. That once they're divorced, so there's no priority between the father and the mother, neither one has kedim over the other, so then the child gets to decide whom he wants to listen to. But
what's this for? I mean, whether they married or not, they both your father and your mother. And if there's a gedima on the father, what's
because
the difference?
Because the whole reason for the gedima was because atav imcha chayav mechvayt avicha. But once she's nisgarsha, she's no longer chayav mechvayt. A woman's not chayav mechvayt her ex.
Well, it's not because kavos avicha, it says first.
No, it's because the mother, a wife, is chayav in the covet of her husband. But the woman, right, and therefore, atav imcha chayav mechvayt avicha, so the father comes before the mother. But once they're divorced, so she's not chayav in his covet any more than anybody else's covet, so then the two of them are equal standing. And the child has equal mitzvahs to both. So then he gets to choose which one to do.
Would age play a part?
No, good shayla. I don't know. No, that's not relevant here.
She's much older.
So this Reb Shmuel Vanheim, he was the Rav that they originally went to. He said, let's ask a Shaila about Kibrav, that maybe she shouldn't be allowed to do the Shiva because of Kibrav. You'll say, oh, maybe, just like the Gemara says that they get divorced, then you're allowed to listen to whomever you want. And so then we could say that over here, she's not obligated by the Kibbutz because there's a conflicting Kibbutz. And if the girl wants to do the Shidduch, she could do the Shidduch because her mother is in favor of the Shidduch. Her father is not in favor of the Shidduch. She could choose whichever one she wants, because you might be thinking that now that the father died, that's similar to getting divorced. Reb Shmuel argued very strongly against that. He said, no. When the Gemara said divorced, specifically, if they get divorced, then the mitzvah of kavod from the wife to the husband goes off because he threw her out, so she doesn't have to be mechaber him anymore. But when a couple, when somebody dies, so the marriage was still good till their dying day. They were happily married. There's still a mitzvah kavod from the wife to the husband, from the wife to her late husband. There's still a mitzvah kavod, and he says,
how would that be?
He
even when she remarries.
What?
What's
a very good question.
Not alone.
What?
Meaning, what she has to respect him. His memory,
but right, and right. To talk about him in an honorable way. So this Reb Shmuel, he was paskening that I'm not going to dismiss the kibbutz av on the grounds that there's an equal kibbutz aim because even though the father died, but that doesn't equalize the kibbutz av and the kibbutz aim. The kibbutz av is still greater. Divorce equalizes them, but death is very different. He says it's different in many ways. Bein benigla, bein benister is his lashon. He doesn't really elaborate, but he says he doesn't believe that just because the father died, that should take away his priority over the mother in kibbutz avim. Now we're going to see the other places we're not going to agree with this. This at least the Nei Behuda is not going to agree with this. We'll come back to this. We'll get debated in all directions. But this is the opening position. Reb Shmuel.
It locks in.
Right, right. This Reb Shmuel Mannheimer, he took the position that, right, like when the father dies, he's locked in as the more prominent parent, and his command has to be followed. So therefore, we're back to my starting point. Why are you asking about mitzvah kind of remains? There's a bigger problem over here. There's a mitzvah kibbutz av, which prevails over the kibbutz aim, and he's asering the shidduch, so l'chayrisha can't do the shidduch. So then he said, But then I realized that, no, really she was right for not asking about kibbutz av. They only asked about mitzvah kavod v'rei meis. Really she was right because there is no mitzvah kibbutz av over here. And he says what the two of you both said before, because there's no kibbutz av when it comes to shidduchim. So first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Mem, at the very end of Reish Mem, the Ramah says that if a man wants to marry somebody and his father objects and says, I don't let you marry that woman, he does not have to listen to his father. So based on that, we would say that she doesn't have to listen either. And then he wrote, so here, you know, we don't have the writing of this Reb Shmuel. We don't even know who he is, this Reb Shmuel Mannheim. We're reading a tshuva from the Nei Behuda, where he got a letter from Reb Shmuel Mannheim, and he's saying, you said this, and then you said this, and you said this, and then you asked me the following, and here's my answer. So we're getting all this from the Nei Behuda, reflecting back what Reb Shmuel Mannheim wrote. And over there he writes, you then dismissed the whole kibbutz av aim consideration because on shidduchim there's no kibbutz av aim, and you were marich to explain that there's no difference between a son and a daughter, meaning because the Ramos said that a son does not have to listen to his father. And this Reb Shmuel Mannheim was marich to explain that the same way that a son doesn't have to listen to his father by shidduchim, so too a daughter doesn't have to listen to his father by shidduchim. I'll come back to that line in a moment. So then Reb Shmuel Mannheim said, so therefore the kibbutz av aim consideration is dismissed. The only consideration is the mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha'meis, which is what they asked me about in the first place. In other words, this woman was a bigger lamdan than the paisik was. Right? She came and she asked him a shayla about mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha'meis. He said, whoa, why is my mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha'meis? There's a better shayla, kibbutz av aim. Then after thinking about it, he realized, oh no, really there is no mitzvah of kibbutz av aim. The shayla is about mitzvah l'kayem divrei ha'meis. And then he said, that's a good shayla, and that we're going to have to send to the Pesach Adar. Mm. So he wrote it down in a letter, mailed to the Nei Behuda. That was Reb Shmuel Mannheim's part. Now, before we go to the Nei Behuda's response, that line, where, again, the Yehuda indicates that Shmuel Mannheim was marech to explain that there's no difference between the son and the daughter. I mean, apparently there were a couple of paragraphs in his tshuva where he considered a possibility that maybe even though sons don't have to listen to their parents, legabi shiduchim, but daughters perhaps do have to listen, he considered such a possibility, and then he rejected it. What might have been these two paragraphs, so we'll never know. We don't know. We don't have this letter. But I'll tell you what could be a very good argument about this. What's the reason why there's no kibbutz avim on shidduchim? It's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam passes this way. He brings it from a Maharik, who's one of the Rishonim, one of the later Rishonim. The Maharik wrote that you don't have to listen to your parents legabi shidduchim. And the Rambam brings this down in the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But why not? Your parents, we have to listen to your parents about all sorts of things. Why is there some special exception when it comes to shidduchim? So the Rambam...
Those are the Baskol.
The
40 days before the Siyas HaMolad, it's already announced.
That's an interesting svara. Yeah,
look, me either. Well, I want to do it anyway.
Father can't go against the Baskol.
Yeah, but has the child doesn't know the Baskol any better than the parent knows the Baskol. So I don't think that's going to be.
If anybody could have heard the Baskol, it's the.
If you take a look over there in the Birar Gra, there's three reasons that he gives. One of them, he says, might not be correct, but he's left with two reasons. The first reason that he says is very interesting. One, there's a halacha in Hilchos Kibud Avim that you don't listen to a parent when the parent tells you lavar al divrei Torah. The way it's written in Shulchan Aruch is that if your father tells you to violate a mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah day, right? Whether it's a mitzvah saseh, or a mitzvah loisaseh, or even a mitzvah derabbanon, you don't have to listen. So a father that says to do malach on Shabbos, a father that says not to put on tefillin, a father that says to carry in a caramelist, in all these instances, you don't have to listen to a parent. The Gra quotes that to explain why you don't have to listen to a parent about shidduchim, meaning as if to say that if your father is telling you, if your parents are telling you what shidduch to do, that is lavar al divrei Torah. That's an aveira that they're commanding. Mm-hmm. And what's the basis for that? He refers then to the Gemara. He says, ayin kedushin mem alef hamen alef ikid amri v'chulu. So, okay, what's that Gemara? Mem alef hamen alef is the beginning of the second paragraph of kedushin. The Mishnah says, ha'ish mekadesh bo'yu v'shlucha, ha'ish mekadesh bo'yu v'shlucha. That a man could make a shliach to make kedushin, a woman can make a shliach to receive kedushin. The way the Mishnah phrases it, the Mishnah doesn't say a man can make a shliach. The Mishnah says a man could be mekadesh himself or with a shliach. So the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah have to say himself? Of course, a man can be mekadesh and isha. This Mishnah was coming to teach us a chiddush of shlichas, right? Boy mi boy, has to be shluchay mekadesh boy mi boy. Right? The Mishnah is coming to teach us that there's such a thing as a shlichas, as a shliach. But everybody knows they can do it himself. So Amar Rav Yosef, that the reason why it said boy is because mitzvah boy yisumi v'shluchay. That I wanted to tell you boy first, uv'shluchay second, because it's always better to do a mitzvah whatever by yourself.
Mitzvah.
What?
Whatever the mitzvah.
Any mitzvah, and then the Gemara brings down that certain great Talmid Chachamim were busy with the Friday afternoon preparations for Shabbos. This one was salting the fish, and this one was singeing the meat. So even though they had other people in their house that could have done it for them, but mitzvah bo yisum v'shluchai. Ikad omri, then the Gemara says, but maybe you could say, or some say, that no, b'ha isur nami ispa. The reason why it says boy is to indicate that it's better to do it yourself than to send a shliach, but not just because mitzvah bo yisum v'shluchai, like by preparing a Shabbos meal, but b'ha isur nami ispa. It's actually usher to do it with the shliach. It's better, not just a little better, but much better to do it yourself because it's actually usher to do it through a shliach. Why? The Amar, I don't remember, I think Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Asal Adam Sheikadish Isha Ad Sheyir Ena, they now let him Kadish Isha until you see her. See her, Shema Tiskana Alav, because maybe you'll see her and you won't like her, Vahatayra Amra Vahavtolareacha Kamaicha. That if you might, if you send a Shliach, meaning you didn't meet the girl. Again, you know, we're picturing, you know, you have a chasen kala, they already, you know, they dated for a month and they were engaged for 3 months and they were talking all the time. But then the day of the chasana, he says, you know, I don't want to go to the chasana, he's then the shlech. That's not what we're talking about when we say be mekadesh al yishlech. It means a guy is sitting home and says to his friend, go find me a wife and be mekadesh har. So that's the b'shluchai, as the Mishnah means. And on that, the Gemara says, Isur nami yispa, because he's going to bring, who knows who he's going to bring home for you, and you might not like her. And if you don't like her, there's a violation of haftal yachah kamaycha. So that's considered an isser. Yeah, right. That's a good cautionary tale, right? What? Yeah. That's a good example, maybe.
I was able to
match. Good shayla. The what do you think? This is a chumash year. But then the Gemara continues. So okay, so if in the ratio of the Mishnah isuranami yispa, so that which Rav Yosef explained the Mishnah with mitzvah bo yosef mishlucha, where is that negeya? That's for the seifa. The seifa that said ha'isha miskadeshes ba'u b'shlucha. So why does it say ba'u ha'isha b'shlucha mikachem ba'u mi'bari? Why does it have to say ba? Because mitzvah ba'u yosef b'shlucha, which agav is an interesting chiddush in its own right. What's the mitzvah for the girl? She's not mechutzuv in puravu, but nevertheless, there's a mitzvah for a girl to get married. That's an interesting chiddush you see from that gemara. That if we apply mitzvah ba'u yosef b'shlucha, that means it's a mitzvah. But isura lespa. But for the girl, there isn't going to be an isser. That which asur l'kadosh isha ad she'i renda because shematiskana Allah v'ater amar v'avlecha kamaycha, that's all for a man. But for a woman, the amar shlokish, k'tav l'meisav tan dum l'meisav armalu, that since that a woman is going to be satisfied with any husband, it's better to be married than not to be married, and therefore we expect that she'll be happy enough if she's married. So the therefore it's not an isser. We don't think
this year to women.
Uh-huh.
I would not give this year to women today.
So yeah, I think one could definitely make the case that that it's different today than it once was. But the Gemara is reflecting what obviously was a widespread understanding at that time, that men would pick and choose, and if they didn't find the one they think was just right, then they would not. They would dislike her. Women felt that they weren't in the same position. You know, it had a lot to do, I think, with economics, and considered themselves fortunate if they had a husband, and therefore, even if it wasn't their dream husband, it wasn't going to lead to a violation of haftarah kamaycha.
Chazal uses the term isvan kedushin la'darkei shel ish la'achar isha.
Right,
it could be the same thing, meaning it's.
And he's mechazer because he wants to find just the right one. And she's not being mechazer because anyone will do. Maybe. No, I don't think that's the reason for that. That's probably more because of kol kavud b'smach pnimah, that it's not her role to go be mechazer achar. Isha rather. So that's the Gemara. So the Gemara says that. Remember, the Ramos said that you don't have to listen to a parent when it comes to kibud avim. I'm sorry, when it comes to shaduchim, there's no mitzvah of kibud avim. On shaduchim, the father says not to marry the person that you want to marry. You don't have to listen because it's lavar al divrei Torah. Why is it lavar al divrei Torah? Because of this Gemara. What does it say in this Gemara? This Gemara says that to marry a woman that you don't like is a violation. Is an isser. Isur nami yispa. So here, if a guy wants to marry a certain woman and the father says don't marry her instead. So if we said that he had to listen, he'll go marry the woman that he doesn't like, which the Gemara condition calls an isura. So that's like the father saying, do malach on Shabbos. Go into the Beis HaKvaris. Telling him to go against his rutzain in Shaduchim is telling him to violate a mitzvah in the Torah, which mitzvah of haftarah v'yachah kamaycha, because to end up married to somebody that you don't like is a violation of haftarah v'yachah kamaycha. So that's why the Ramah says you don't have to listen to your father. But within that Gemara, that same Gemara that teaches us that it's a virus, an isura, to marry someone that you don't like, that Gemara differentiates between men and women. Mm-hmm. And for a man, it's an isura. For a woman, it's not an isura. For a woman, the expectation is that whomever she ends up marrying, she'll be happy enough. Tavo meisav tan dum meisav armalu. So if this is the reason for the Ramah, then we would say that it's only true for boys and not for girls. meaning a son does not have to listen to his parents, but a daughter would have to listen to his parents. So we said that we had a reference in this Shuvas Nayi D'Behuda. He said that the other guy had arichas to discuss whether it's also true for a daughter. Well, this would be the reason to say that it isn't also true for a daughter. Because if the reason for the Ramah is because Isur Nami Yispa, that's only for boys and not for girls. However, now continuing in the Gra, though, coming back to the Gra, again, the Gra has come to explain the reason for the Ramah. The Ramah said that you don't have to listen to your father. The wording of the Ramah was that if he tells his son not to marry the woman that he wants, he doesn't have to listen. And the Ramah, again, the Gra is always very, very, very concise. So he says, Ayin Sif Tesvav, which is where it says you don't have to listen when it comes to Averis. And then he says, V'ayin Kedushim Mamalef, Ikad Amri Isurinami V'chulu. Right? So that Gemara that says that, it's an to marry somebody you don't like. Then the Gra continues and he says, V'ayin Sif Hei. And he says, Ayin Sif Hei, V'kol Shekein Tzara D'Gufa. Again, that's it, four words, that's the Gra. What's he talking about over here? So there's a Gemara in, again, Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, where it clears a shayla, very important shayla in Ches Kibud Av Ve'Eim, Iboiluhu, Mitzvahs Kibud Av Ve'Eim, Mishal Av or Mishal Bein. The Gemara had just said that, Ezehu Kibud, what's the mitzvah of Kibud? Machiloi, Mashkehu, Malpishoi, Maniloi, Machnisoi, Meitziyai. You have to help him with all these things, so if he needs help to eat, to drink, you give him to eat, you give him to drink, you help him get dressed, you help him put on his shoes, you bring him inside, you bring him outside. Yiboyluhu. That which you give him to eat, you give him to drink, is Mishal Av and Mishal Bein. Meaning he says, bring me a Coke. Does he mean that, and the mitzvah says there's a mitzvah, you bring him the Coke. Does it mean you're in his house, it's his refrigerator, it's his Coke, but it's hard for him to get up from the table and get it? On that, there's a mitzvah. You bring him his Coke from his fridge to his seat. Or does it mean that you have to provide him with, you have to buy him his groceries and stock his fridge with the things that he needs out of your budget? The Torah says, honor your father. That means machiloi mashkeu. So to feed him means you have to support him. You have to provide him with his groceries. That's Mishal Bein. And the Gemara says, and there's a machlokes. I think Rav Yehuda held Mishal Bein, and Rav Nassim Bar Abba, I'm not sure, says Mishal Av. Says the machlokes whether the mitzvah is on the... What it's really coming down to is, do you have to spend money on Kibud Av Ve'Eim? Mishal Av means you don't have to spend money. You have to do anything that he asks for, but you don't have to spend your money on it. Mishal Bein means you have to spend money on it also. La halacha, we pass this to Mishal Av. That the mitzvah of Kibud Av and Mishal Av. Now, there's a very interesting discussion about this in Shulchan Aruch. We pass Mishal Av. Now, so what does that mean if somebody's father says, I need food to eat, I can't afford it. So is there no mitzvah of Kibud Av to buy him groceries? So the Shulchan Aruch said, right after the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that the mitzvah is Mishal Av, it says, however, there's the parent is the highest priority in Hilchas Tzedakah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that in Hilchas Tzedakah, there's a concept of Hakar V'Karev Kaidim, that, you know, when you're deciding which ani to give your tzedakah to, so it doesn't say that it's whichever ani has better prizes in his Chinese auction. It says that whichever ani you're closest to, that's where you have to give. That's a halacha. There's a kadim in halacha tzedakah. You have to give it where you have more of a shayches. And Shulchan Aruch says that a parent is the highest priority, which means that practically speaking, that which we pass Mishal Av v'lo Mishal Bein doesn't really make so much of an afkamina, because if the father asks you to buy him food, you really have to. If he can't afford it and you can, then you do have to. But the difference is in lamdas. You have to because there's a mitzvah of tzedakah, and if you have the money to buy it and he doesn't, he comes before any other area where you'd want to give the tzedakah, so lamaisa, you have to buy him food. But it's not because of the mitzvah tzedakah. So there's a chiluk in lamdas. The mitzvah tzedakah is Mishal Av, not Mishal Bein. Practically speaking, if your father really needs your help, you have to support him financially also. But in lamdas, we have to understand that's not because of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Eim. That's only because of the mitzvah of tzedakah.
The question is a tenth or a chaymish?
What do you mean?
Kibud Av Ve'Eim, if it's a mitzvah, you have to spend up to a chaymish, right?
Yeah,
up to.
Mitzvah,
right?
Right.
Well, tzedakah is a tenth.
Tzedakah also has a shiur of a chaymish, but over there it's voluntary. And by mitzvahs, It's more than that. That may be. I hear. Okay. So now, comes along the Gra. The Gra said, so what does all this have to do with our story? Zak the Gra, that if we paskin Mishal Av, which means that if he, strictly speaking, Hilchas Kibud Av Eim, if he asks you, could you buy me a Coke? So I should swipe my credit card, those $2 for you? No, the Torah didn't command me. The Torah said I should go here, go there, help you with whatever I could help you with. But it never told me I have to swipe my credit card. I don't have to sacrifice my own assets for Kibud Av Eim. So now, if a son has a ratzayin to marry a certain woman, and the father tells him not to, and we would say, because of Kibud Av Eim, you can't marry that woman. Isn't that sacrificing something of his own? It's not. It's not exactly a credit card swipe. It's not. It's not money, but it's his hopes and dreams. It's his. It's his, the way he wants to live his life. It's a much bigger sacrifice than spending your money. The halacha that we pass Mishal Avla and Mishal Beim is you don't have to sacrifice from your own things, and whom you want to marry, that's your own. That's a sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice what's yours to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim. And therefore, you don't have to listen to your parents for Shaduchim. That's, again, the words of the Gra are Ayin Sifhei, that's where it says Mishal Avla and Mishal Beim, V'kol Shekein Tzara Degufa. Tzara Degufa meaning personal sacrifice is even more than monetary sacrifice. And if you don't have to sacrifice monetarily, you don't have to sacrifice personally either. Now, it's always good to point out there's a very geshmaka story when we say over this halacha mishal av v'lo mishal bein, which sounds like a very big kula, and ches kibud av eim. So there's a geshmaka story that they tell over from Reb Chaim Brisker, that there was a yid in Brisk that came to him. He said he has an elderly mother who lives in a faraway city, and she sent him a letter that she's lonely and she hasn't seen him in a long time, and she really wants him to come. And he said, but you know, I would love to, but a train ticket from here to there, it's, you know, long distance. To buy a ticket was a lot of money. I'm not a wealthy person. So I learned the sugya. My understanding is that it's Mishal Av V'lo Mishal Beim. So, you know, if she'll send me, let's say it's 10 rubles to buy a train ticket, if she'll send me the 10 rubles in the mail, that's a different story. But she's asking me to just come. Like, I have to spend my own 10 rubles. So I don't have to do that, right? That's what he came to ask the Rav. So Reb Chaim told him, you're right, you're a big lamdan. You don't have to spend your 10 rubles to buy the train ticket. Start walking. you have to honor your mother. And if for your convenience you'd like to take a train, then that's your achrayus. So you do have to be careful about how you apply this kula. It is a kula, but you have to be careful how you apply this kula, Mishal Av V'lo Mishal Beim. But the Gros says, but this is a very legitimate application of the kula, that when it comes to Shaduchim, that's called Tzara Degufa. He's asking you to basically spend your money. Not money, but your sheifas, your hopes and dreams, your goal, your life plan, to honor him, that you don't have to do. So that's the second reason why you don't listen to parents in Shaduchim, and that reason is true for both for sons and for daughters. So now, again, that unpublished, you know, couple of paragraphs that the world never saw, but there was an arichas about whether it does apply to daughters or it doesn't, and they came out that it does. So I think this might be how it looked. That if you go with the first reason, that it's mishumi sura ispa because of ahafu'ech kamaycha, then you could differentiate that it's only for boys and not for girls. But this second reason, that because mishal av v'lo mishal bein, and shaduchim is considered mishal bein, so that's going to apply both to boys and to girls. And since that second reason is a valid reason by itself, so that would allow even girls not to do the mitzvah of kibud av eim when it comes to shaduchim. So where does that leave us? So we're just at the end of this Reb Shmuel, this anonymous, you know, Reb from Mannheim, this Reb Shmuel Mannheimer, who had said that there isn't going to be a kibud av eim issue. There's just going to be a mitzvah kamed v'meis. That I'm not sure, but that I want to ask the Nadi Behuda. So the Nadi Behuda then speaks. You know, he says that as far as the Mishal Kaim Devri Ameis Shaila, there's no Mishal Kaim Devri Ameis over here. Now, this part of the tshuva I want to just do very, very big kitzer, because we're going to focus more on the Kibud Av Eim part. But he says that since ultimately the one who's in charge of whom a person marries is the person himself, meaning a child is welcome to take input and guidance from their parents. But once a girl is 12 and a half years old, she's a bailim on her marriage, right? A katana and a nara, the father has the koyach to marry her off. But once she becomes a begeres, that's 12 and a half, she's a full-fledged adult in halacha, and she can marry whoever she wants. So at this point, if the father left instructions about whom she should marry, he says, that would be, you know, mitzvah kaim de remes. Imagine if somebody leaves a tzava, and he says, I want my neighbor to give $100 to my son's yeshiva, whatever, to my favorite charity. So then we go, and then he dies. So we go, we knock on the neighbor's door, and he says, you know, your neighbor just said you should give $100. Why should I give $100 because my neighbor said, well, he died. You have to listen. So go jump in the lake. What's it my problem that he died? Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Vrei HaMeis is when you give instructions about things that are your business. But to give instructions about something that you don't have any control over, that you didn't have control over while you were alive, so you can't give instructions after you die and expect that people have to listen because you died. No Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Vrei HaMeis on that. Now, when it comes to marrying of children, we think of that as an area where parents have a lot of control. Parents marry off their children. You know, from real life, that's how it seems. But in halacha, he says, parents don't really have control over whom their children marry. The das for the kedushin is the das of the ish, the das of the isha, not the das of the parents. Again, except, I mean, this when you learn Masechet Kedushin, sometimes you forget that because there's so many sugyas, kedushin and exubas that talk about kedushin ketana and kedushin nara. But we don't do that, right? When you know, you our kalas that are 20 years old, give or take, you know, or more than that. So if she's completely an adult, and the only person who, the only das that matters is her own das. Mm.
So, the other way around. Well, after they're married, a father couldn't say divorce to your husband.
Right.
No, it's just the same. You can't say
right. Right. That's another example of what he can't do.
He can't
absolutely right. Right. So then you're just saying, but here also he can't. He can't say, I'm giving instructions about whom you should marry, because that's like telling somebody else what to do with their own personal matters. So he says that he dismisses the Mitzvah L'Kayim D'Vrei HaMeis. But then he says, let's get back to the Kibud Av V'Em issue. And he agrees with what Shmuel Menahem said, that there's no Kibud Av V'Em over here because it's Shidduchim. And you don't have to listen to your parents when it comes to Shidduchim. And he says, I agree what you said, that there's no difference between sons and daughters. So halacha l'maisa, we're in agreement about that. But he said, I would make the case even stronger. Because you had started off that maybe you don't have to listen to the father. Before you even thought of this Ramah, that by Shidduchim there's no Kibud Av V'Em, you were thinking maybe you don't have to listen to the father because you can listen to the mother instead. Because you could really take your choice because they're not married anymore. But then you rejected that. You said, no, what the Gemara says for divorce is only true for divorce. It's not true for death. So then he says, there, I think you're wrong. It's true for death also. If the husband dies, then we no longer say that the father has priority over the mother because you're both chayev to honor the father. Almana is chayev in the honor of her late husband? If that was the case, then she wouldn't be allowed to remarry. And she's allowed to remarry, and she's even encouraged to remarry. The ayei kvoida, ayei makom kvoida, he says, if his wife goes and marries somebody else. Obviously, she's entitled to turn her back on, you know, could do it, you know, politely and respectfully, but she's allowed to move on with her life. But for a woman to move on with her life by marrying another man, by definition, that means she's not still showing respect to her first husband. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So the same way that after divorce, there's no chiyuv covered from the wife to the husband, after death, that's also the same thing. And therefore, yeah, they're really equal. So even if you hadn't brought in this discovery that there's no kibud av v'em on shidduchim, your first thought was also a valid one. That here that the mother is allowing the shidduch, the girl will be allowed to do it because she could choose to listen to the mother over the father. Then Zaktan and Yehuda, I can make it even a step better than that. Not only that the girl would be entitled to listen to the mother over the father, I would argue that the girl is mechuyev to listen to the mother over the father. Because, well, even though in the Gemara we only find that the father has priority, and then sometimes it gets equaled, we don't find anywhere that the mother has priority. But he said, but there's another difference over here. You have two parents, one is alive and one is dead. And Zaknei Yehuda, I think that the covet for a living parent has kedima over the covet for a dead parent. Now, not that there's no mitzvah of kibud av v'em for a dead parent. There is. That's mefurish in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, for example, if you're quoting from your parent after he dies, you're always supposed to add Zechroinu Levracha L'chayi Olam Haba, except in the first year. In the first year, you say Harini Kaparas Mishkava. After that, you say Zechroinu Levracha L'chayi Olam Haba. But the idea is you always have to refer to them respectfully because Mechabde B'chayim and Mechabde L'achar Maisai. But that being said, that doesn't mean that it's to the same degree. It's a much greater mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'aim while they're alive than after they died. He says, I could show you that from the, there's a story, again, on the same, everything is on Daf Lamed Aleph or the beginning of Lamed Beis, that's where all the, in Kedushin, that's where all the Kibbutz Av'aim sugyos are. So on Lamed Aleph and Beis, the Gemara tells a story. Rav Asi came from Bavel. His mother lived in Bavel. He went to Eretz Yisrael. The beginning of that story, incidentally, was not the topic of the Nidri Behud is focusing on, but it's just interesting. The Gemara has very great relevance, you know, halach lamaisa. The Gemara says that Rav Asi left Bavel because his mother became senile and he couldn't be mechabit her under those circumstances, so he left Bavel and he went to Eretz Yisrael. Then when he was in Eretz Yisrael...
And he left her there.
Then when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he decided that he wants to go back and pay her honor. It's not clear from the Gemara what changed. He wants to go back and pay her honor. He got permission from Rav Yechon, from Rav Elazar. He's gonna go back. And then as he was traveling, he heard the news that his mother's Arayin is on the way to Eretz Yisrael. He had already left Eretz Yisrael, he's going towards Bavel, and he basically bumps into the funeral procession. And then he said, and the last words of the Gemara are, oh, if I knew this, I wouldn't have left. Meaning, even though it's to be at his mother's funeral, but he wouldn't have left. He was going to leave Eretz Yisrael to go be mechavit his mother, but not to attend her funeral, even though obviously that's a kibbutz av'aim to attend her funeral, but I wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael for that. So you see from that story that the kibbutz av'aim, the kibbutz av'aim for a mother while she's alive, is greater than the kibbutz av'aim for the mother while after she dies.
Maybe he wouldn't have left because she was coming to him.
Yeah, that I hear. You mean I could have participated in the funeral from here? Then the Yehuda assumed that's not the proper way to participate in a funeral. You should go and be there from the beginning. But he brings another raya. The story that we mentioned before, that the Ben Almana Achas that asked Rabbi Lazar, Avavai Mishkeni Maim, Imaim Mishkeni Maim, so which one comes first? We say, give it to the father first. And then he came to Rabbi Yeshua, and he asked him, Nisgar Shamahu, and Rabbi Yeshua got all annoyed with him, because he was able to tell that his father wasn't alive anymore. So he said sarcastically, put it into a trough and cluck at them like a chicken. That's the story. Why was he so annoyed? So the Gemara Rashi says because he didn't have a father, so the Shaila wasn't a Gaya to him. So the Yehuda says, well, since I already, you know, I decided, we already said, not like Shmuel Mannheim, it's our position that the dying is really the same as divorcing. Meaning, once the parent is dead, once the father is dead, the mother doesn't have to be mechabit the father anymore. The wife doesn't have to be mechabit her husband after he dies. So what do you mean the shayla wasn't negeya? It's very negeya. He is in a position of two parents that aren't married to each other anymore. Good. He phrased it as nisgarshu instead of mace, but it's the same shayla. The halacha of mace is the same as the halacha of nisgarshu because here you have. They're not married to each other anymore, and now you want to know, does the father still have kadima, or does that equalize them? Isn't it an important shayla? Why was he angry at him for asking a shayla that's not negeya? Oh, it's not negeya because since I know your father died, so that means they didn't get divorced, and they never will get divorced because your father is dead now, but they're as good as divorced. Other rabbi, the shayla was very negeya because they're as good as divorced.
Wasn't it, he wanted to give them a drink? Wasn't it like if the father says to do something and the mother says to do something?
Yeah.
Right. You're right. That's a good point. Right. The example of Ashkeni Mayim won't be Negeah over here. But can't there be things that are Negeah because the, you know, if the father left any kind of instructions.
I hear.
That's a good taina. Then maybe he was upset with him because the specific example couldn't be relevant after he died. But the individual is bothered that if, you know, just because of the example, if the Shaila really was Negeah to him personally, so why should he be so upset? The answer is because Zakat Nedar Bihuda, because whether a couple that's not married anymore, there is still, do we still say the father's will prevails, or do we say that then they're equal, is all not coming in a geya, because when you have one living parent and one dead parent, then that's a much greater consideration, and it's pashut that the will of the mother is going to prevail. Not that they're not going to be equal, nor are we going to say the father's will prevails because we're going to say the mother's will prevails because she's alive. And the mechab de b'chayim is a bigger mitzvah than the mechab de l'achamisa. That's why Rabbi Shua was annoyed with him, that this shayla can't be negated to him because you have one living parent. So therefore, Zakta Neid Vihuda, not only is there... Is this girl allowed to get married and to violate the mitzvah of her father, the command of her father, but she has to get married. Meaning, to the extent that we'd be interested in what her parents have to say, not only is she allowed to listen to her mother over her father, but she'd be obligated to listen to her mother over her father. This Reb Shmuel Mannheimer had thought that if we're going to look at Kibbutz Av Aim, the father's going to win. There's no to be who to argues in two steps. First, he says, no. Dying is the same as divorcing in the sense that if they're not married, they're not married. There's no atavim chayav mechayav avicha, so you don't have to listen to the father. They're equal. They're as good as equal. Then he says, and I'll go even further. Not only are they equal, but the mother actually prevails because she's alive and the father's not alive. So he said the bottom line is that this shidduch should go forward, and and she has a mitzvah. She doesn't have any restrictions against the shidduch, and she even has a mitzvah of listening to her mother. Yes, to do the shidduch, and please, invite me to the wedding. That's the bottom line in the Nedar Bihuda.
Let's say the mother didn't care.
If the mother didn't care, then he wouldn't say that. Then he would say that she should just do whatever she wants. And la halacha,
doesn't have to listen to the dead father.
Because of only because of that Ramah that says that you don't have to listen to the shidduch.
How far does a child have to go to answer their parents' wishes on their parent passing away, mother, father, whoever? I mean, okay, so a shidduch, you don't have to listen to. You give $1,000 to tzedakah, you do have to listen to. If it's their money. I mean, they're leaving money. But what's the dividing line? What's the benchmark where you
have to listen? If it's Mishal Av or Mishal Bein. Mm-hmm. Anything that's Mishal Av, you do have to.
If it's their assets. But if they tell you, I want you to finish Maseches Kedushin. What point do you say
did
that...
they tell you they want to send you to this yeshiva and you want to go to a different yeshiva?
You're talking about when they were alive?
No, after they died.
After they died. I think for the most part the same as while they're... That would be the same shadows while they're alive. The covering of Machila Mashkei obviously is in the gay after they die, but to the extent that you have to listen to instructions about what they what they tell you to do, that I think is the same. I was about to bring in a Tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I wasn't going to get to this part, but the end of one of the sections of the Tshuva really discusses that, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that on the one hand the Gemara says Machab B'Machayim Machab La'Achamisa. But then he brings a raya from a Gemara in Ksubis that la'achamisa there isn't a mitzvah kavod, and so he says that to miyashive you have to be machal between different types of kavod, and he really gets very much into this discussion that you're asking. What when it's dumb instructions about things that they want you to do, does that go into the category of yes la'achamisa or not la'achamisa? Va'ayin sham. He really leaves it a little bit undecided. But I'm going to bring in this Tshuva. This is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Tshuva Siman Samaches. I just wanted to take a few minutes with this Tshuva, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because he addresses this chiddush we just heard from the Nedar Bihuda. Again, the Nedar Bihuda said that after the father dies, it's as good as divorce. There's no longer priority to the father. And not only that, but for care, there's going to be priority to the mother, because she's the living parent. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that he thinks that both of these chidushim are incorrect. Even though he says that he would have very much agreed that, at least to the first chidush, that if they're dead, if one is dead, then that's the same as divorce. You can't call that atavim chayav mechayav avicha anymore. But he says, there's a beis yosef which Mufurish goes against this Nedi Behuda, and we have to defer to the Beis Yosef's judgment. What's the case of the Beis Yosef? Very interesting story. A woman died, and she left instructions that she wants her child to say Kaddish. Nowadays, it wouldn't even be instructions. Nowadays, you know, this goes without saying. But once upon a time, this was a little bit more, you know, it was not a universal custom. The mother left instructions she wants her son to say Kaddish for her. The father is still alive. And the father said that it's insulting to me that you're saying Kaddish while I'm still alive. So he was makbid that the child not say Kaddish. So he has conflicting tzavois. His mother said, say Kaddish for me. His father says, don't say Kaddish for her. The Beis Yosef paskins, this is the Gemara in Kedushin. Father says one thing and the mother says the other thing. You have to listen to the father. So the Rabbi Kidegar says to the Nedi Yehuda, this Beis Yosef, first of all, is before she against your first point. You see that that the Maila of the father over the mother is true even after he dies. We don't say no dying is like getting divorced. They're not married anymore, so the mother doesn't have to honor the father, so the two are equal. Even though the mother is dead, we still say that the father's command carries more weight than the mother's command. So it's a raya against that step of the Nedi Yehuda. Then Zakir Bikivager, and I'll tell you more. The etzem psak halacha over here. Right, we're in this case where the mother said, say Kaddish for me, and the father said, don't say Kaddish for her. And the Beis Yosef said, don't say Kaddish for her. We said that we were bringing a raya against the Nedi Yehuda from the Beis Yosef's reasoning, because the Beis Yosef said, Atav imcha chayav mechvay ravicha, which is against the Nedi Yehuda. But the actual psak, the Nedi Yehuda would have agreed to. The Nedi Yehuda would have also said, don't say Kaddish. Why? Because if the mother's dead and the father's alive, he would have said, honor the living parent. Remember, the state of the Nedi Yehuda was, father and mother is equal. After one dies, the father and mother is equal, but the living parent has kadima. The Beis Yosef, in this case, where the mother died and the father is alive, he said, the Beis Yosef said, listen to the father, because he's the father. So first of all, I see that there's still a mile of the father over the mother, even though they're not married anymore. And secondly, I see that he didn't say, listen to the father, because he's the living parent. So I see that he's not interested in which parent is alive, which means that even though in this case the Beis Yosef's psak and the Hindu psak would overlap, but the machlekes would come out if you would have the opposite story. Let's say the father died and said, say Kaddish for me. And the mother's alive and she says, no, it's an offensive to me if you're going to say Kaddish while you have a living parent. You can't say Kaddish for him. The Nedi Yehuda would have said over here that you listen to the mother and don't say Kaddish. Because the Yehuda said that there's no priority for the father because they're not married anymore, and there's priority to the mother because she's the living parent. But the Beis Yosef says that even after a parent dies, but there's still an atavim chachem mechvayt avicha, you listen to the father. So in this case, the Beis Yosef would say yes to say Kaddish. Rabbi Kivager says that we're going to follow the Beis Yosef, that there isn't kadima to the living parent over the dead parent, there is kadima to the father over the mother, even though they're not married anymore. Nisgarshu, the Gemara says, there's no more kadima to the father over the mother. But if the marriage got ended because one of them died, Hamavis Yafrid Beinayim, that we don't say that makes it, that it takes away the mile of the father. We still say that the tzivui of the father prevails over the tzivui of the mother.
So who was masakin to say Kaddish when a person died, when a parent dies? Where does that come from?
It comes from a medrash. It comes from a medrash with a story about Rabbi Akiva, I think.
Can we not say that it's alabain? Because Kaddish is personal, and someone gets nechama by saying Kaddish for a parent. So
it's, but it's a covenant for the, it's done, it you show them the covenant of the parent. It's therapeutic, pain. You mean?
It's not taken away. Is that halacha?
Yeah, that's not the reason for it though in halacha, I think.